Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 3 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled The Clash of Three Kingdoms. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
It's my prayer that you'll meet God within this teaching, that you'll hear His voice. You know, there's basically three realms of reality, and we live in what we call the natural realm. The kingdom of darkness has what we call an unnatural realm. That's where we tend to view that as beneath. But it takes the natural and it makes it into an unnatural. So any behavior that's natural, behavior perverted, is operating in an unnatural way. Does that make sense? And then the third realm of reality is the supernatural. And that's the realm in which God operates and lives in. It's the realm of the kingdom of God. So we have a supernatural, we have a natural, then we have an unnatural. And so God has created us so that we live in this natural realm. And in this natural realm, and He has created us in a, given us a physical body to live in the natural realm. I've said this before, I'll say it again, that the supernatural realm has two speeds in which it travels. One speed is it's faster than the naked eye. And the other speed is it's slower than the naked eye. So we have been created in a natural realm, which is right between seeing the supernatural realm. Why? Because the supernatural moves faster and slower. For instance, when you were born as a baby and you're 50, 60 years old perhaps, you've grown over the years. That is a supernatural phenomena. Anything that's living, our cells replace themselves. All of this stuff that happens in this human body, it's supernatural. Man cannot duplicate that. But it's moving slower than the naked eye. You can't see it. You can see perhaps my belly in before and after pictures. It's been created totally naturally, trust me. I've enjoyed every minute of it, I guess. But the point being is the supernatural realm is moving. It's all around us, but it's moving faster than you can see and slower than you can see. So we ask God to allow the supernatural realm to break into the natural realm. So to do that, God has taken a supernatural phenomena, bring it into a natural world so we can see it, all of a sudden see it. And I have experienced that, I have seen that, and I enjoy that, and I ask God for more of that. But I'll be honest with you, I'm tired waiting sometimes. So God says, and it says in the book of Revelation, that He wants to give the church His eyes to see and ears to hear. So we can see and hear in the supernatural realm of God. It's possible. Now with that in mind, I'm going to begin. Today's teaching, is I'm going to say it's the third installment, if you will, of the third side in dominion. And I'm going to continue in that. Before I continue, I meant to tell you, where's our pastor? He's actually at Hawaii on the beach. No, that's not. That's totally unnatural. I went south just right before you. You got to experience it. No, he's at home, a little under the weather. And, of course, first thing people say is he got COVID. I don't know. He just feels bad. And if it prolongs, I'm sure he'll check himself out to see what's going on. So if you would, be in prayer for him. Of course, we lose Kelly, the pastor's wife, in the worship. because she lives with him, and so he's not sure, so she's not sure, so you know how the thing goes. So be in prayer for them, if you would, as we continue this battle of the unnatural world. Amen. So I want to start this teaching today, and I went over last time, so that doesn't mean I'm going to let you out early today, but I'll try not to go over today. In this understanding of the third side, I will use a couple slides that have been the same, but it's because I'm going to take us a little further into the understanding. Now, I like to do a little story sometimes at the beginning, and this little story at the beginning is how a father almost missed the third side. It's just a real very, very short story. But it's about his little daughter, and she had a Christmas present for her father. The story goes like this. A little girl was decorating a box with gold wrapping paper to put it under the Christmas tree. Money was tight, so the girl's father punished her for wasting almost all of the roll of that expensive paper. However, the next morning, the girl brought the gift to her father. "This is for you, Daddy," she said. He opened a box and found it empty, so he became angry. "Don't you know that when you give someone a gift, it is supposed that there would be something inside of it?" he said severely. The little girl looked at her father with tears in her eyes and said, "Daddy, this box is not empty. I filled it with my kisses, all for you." The father was stunned, and he felt so embarrassed that he could just put his arms around his little daughter and beg for her forgiveness. For many years of his life, the man kept the golden box near his bed. Whenever he felt sad, downhearted, he opened the box and thought of the love of that little child had put into it. Each of us have been given a present of unconditional love from God. It is the most precious possession that anyone could hold. Amen. And we see that God has not given us a box, but he's given us his word. And inside of his word, we don't want to miss this. This is the word of God. And he's filled this word, this box full of kisses, if you will, of his love for mankind. So the main theme of this book is the love of God. And so as we're studying what's going on around us, as we try to apply God's word to our present circumstances, we can say, well, is the end times, is it near? Is this the setting up for the Antichrist? We can have all of these devastating thoughts. And I would answer yes to all of the above. End times, yes. Setting up for the Antichrist, yes. And so it was 1,000 years ago, and so it was 500 years ago. Nothing's changed. And so what we're seeing, the theater in which we're living in this day, is we can see that because of the behavior of mankind, that the theater begins to shift, it begins to change. And so as it changes, the reality of the world we're living in changes. It requires of us believers and Christians to change also. Now, I'm going to show you this change. This change should be growth. If I had a title today, it would be The Clash of Three Kingdoms. And when I say The Clash of Three Kingdoms, two kingdoms become allies and join together even though they don't realize it. So this is Make no mistake, what's going on around us now is a clash of kingdoms. Can anybody feel it? It's just a huge, thunderous crashing of kingdoms. But there again, just like the third side, I want you to understand, there's three kingdoms clashing, not just light and darkness. There's a third player, and that third player can either go good or go bad, and it can cause more confusion. We see here the kingdom of man, the kingdom of darkness, and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of man, the kingdom of darkness, can you see it in the kingdom of God? Now, the kingdom of man likes to pull off of the kingdom of darkness when needed. The kingdom of man also likes to pull out of the kingdom of God when needed. You can say, well, Alan, man doesn't. How do you say we pull out of darkness? Greed, selfishness. Must I go on? So we have the kingdom of man that is contributing to what we're seeing around us today. That's the reason I teach this prophetic and this spiritual understanding. It's a three-sided clash, not just a two-sided clash. Now, let's move forward. Now, here we see, and this is the same picture I've used before, the three sides. It's my side, it's your side, and then there's God's side. So we see in any argument, I don't care if it's husband and wife or business or whatever, there still ends up to be three sides, my side, your side, and then there's God's side. God's side brings correction to the two sides. Is that right? Would you agree with me? Now, it says in Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my way, says the Lord." So automatically, we know that God's side is going to think differently than mine or yours. So we're wanting to discover what this is. Now, the third side, as we move into this arena, is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is one of the most unchartered revelations of the Holy Word to God's people. The definition of the kingdom of God. There again, you got the kingdom of man that we want to use the kingdom of God when needed. There's a difference than living as a citizen of the kingdom and using the kingdom like a spare tire. Now, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, this is in Daniel, which Trevor is teaching in now, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for how long? It will stand forever. So what we're discovering is we're wanting to align ourselves with this kingdom that's going to last forever. The kingdoms of man, the kingdoms of darkness, they're all coming down. Everything that man has built on this earth is coming down. It is not forever. So we're wanting to find with whom are. It's not that we don't know what I'm saying. What I'm asking us to consider is, can I move from where I am into a closer relationship with the kingdom of God? Can I move in a direction? Can I make a change for this? Now, Jesus prayed this, and you know it well. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom do what? Come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So here we see this topic of the kingdom of God, that Jesus is praying for it to come. What's the kingdom going to look like? It's going to look like it does in heaven. There again, this kingdom is in the supernatural element, reality, realm. It's in the supernatural. So Jesus is saying, pray that that supernatural element come into the natural realm of the earth. Do you see that? So to have Christianity without the supernatural element is to live in Christianity without the kingdom coming. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You say, well, Alan, I'm not seeing God do much. Well, this doesn't mean that we're not seeing the kingdom come much. Doesn't change the fact that it's real. Doesn't change that. That's just true. It's just Jesus, had Jesus not given us permission to pray for it to come, we would probably be confused. Are we to endure, hang on, hang in, you know, and just die and meet him? Or Jesus threw this in. He said, now I want you to pray that this kingdom will come. I'm just suggesting, I don't really think we're that much in relationship with his kingdom. Now, I'm not saying I'm not a citizen, and you're not. Of course we are. But I don't know too much. I don't know the street names. I don't know the buildings. I'm not too familiar with what this kingdom looks like, even though I'm a citizen. But I am on a task of learning more about what is his kingdom and what is his kingdom coming, because I am totally convinced that this world we're going into is going to require of believers to be more familiar with this kingdom of God coming and invading the earth. What is the kingdom of God? Now, let's look at it in Matthew as we're trying to learn more about what is this kingdom. He says, but seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? So here we go. What are we going to do with this verse? Do you want to take it out? You want to ignore it? Do you believe it's true? It's in God's word. Do you perhaps believe? I mean, this is God's box that he sent to us, right? Do you believe that verse to be true? He gives us instructions, but seek first, not second, third, fourth. Seek first. First. To seek first shows us an alignment. When you get up in the morning, seek first. When we get up in the morning, seek first. Seek first. You cannot avoid church. Seek first. If we're wanting to see the supernatural come into the natural, seek first the kingdom of God. And what? His righteousness. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. So we see here that we're getting some instructions. Number one, he says to seek first. And could it be possible that when we wake up in the morning and when we seek God first, could that possibly be aligning our day with the kingdom of God? Alignment with God and his word is everything. It's everything. So to seek first begins the alignment. It says, and we're to seek righteousness. We say, well, Alan, we don't have any righteousness. But we have the righteousness of Christ. And we're to seek that. Now, the right to experience, to understand that the righteousness is necessary to see that these things of the kingdom will be added, for us to see that the righteousness is necessary, it doesn't mean we live like hell, and because we're getting in off of Christ's righteousness. You see, it's Christ's righteousness, but this is righteousness that we can experience. You see, once we're aligned with seeking first, once the alignment's made, what happens to the righteousness? When we seek first, then for us to seek the righteousness of Christ in our lives, is the motivator, or it's the motivator that causes us to move in the kingdom. Can anybody hear me? The righteousness, so we don't say poo-poo, or we don't say, well, the righteousness has been fulfilled, so now let's just do whatever we want to. You're totally going to miss the kingdom. It's the righteousness of Christ that we want to unfold and get the revelation in our hearts, because it's the motivator of the seeking first of His kingdom. His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All of what things? All the things of the kingdom. So we're seeing the supernatural realm of the kingdom. We're seeking that because, and Jesus says, pray that it'll come. So the understanding and living out in the righteousness of Christ is necessary as we seek this kingdom. Now, we see here that in Matthew it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Can anybody tell me what that picture is? It's a tree. It's a cross-section of a tree. And in that tree, you see what? Rings. You see growth rings. It's what you call, is everybody, you're familiar, everybody's familiar with growth rings in a tree. So what you have is these rings, and supposedly you can count these rings and tell pretty close how many years old a tree is. And that's the outer, it's the outer bark being included, and then you got the cambium layer. You see the soft wood, it's called the cambium layer in between. And so you would look at that and say, well, the wider the growth ring, the better the year to grow. You know, more rain, more sunshine, whatever. In other words, for some reason, then you have real narrow growth rings, and it's a tendency to believe, well, that was a hard year, even though they found out that's not 100% true. To find out that sometimes in a real lean growth ring, perhaps it was real dry that year, and then notice that every year it's real dry or harsh, that the tree puts down more roots. And so then the next year, the growth is kind of exaggerated with maybe less rainfall, because the tree's put down more roots to find more water and nutrients, and so therefore create a greater growth ring. There's not anybody in here that doesn't have growth rings. Can anybody get what I'm going for here? We all have growth rings. So I'm coming off of His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. In other words, we're somewhat like a tree. We're all growing in righteousness, whether you know it or not. You're not the same person as you were 10 years ago. You can say, well, Alan, I don't think I've grown much. Well, the reason I know you have is because God's promised to continue and finish the work He started in you. Now, you might have forgotten a few of these growth rings, but nonetheless, are you growing in righteousness? The answer is yes. A believer has like growth rings. We're all growing. We're not to be so sad. Well, I'm sure not growing. Yes, you are. Why? Because another year has passed. And what God asks us to do is to remember what He's taught us. Just think back and remember. So His righteousness is not that far away. His righteousness is very close to us, because we're constantly growing. Good years, bad years. You know, the truth is, we probably grow more in the bad years than we do the good years. We can say, well, 2020, hallelujah, we're out of that year. And I stand before you and say, glory, hallelujah. That's right. But the truth is, and through this election, through COVID, through everything, the Church of Jesus Christ should have a very wide growth ring in 2020. We're not to be in fear. We're not to feel overwhelmed. We're supposed to understand that our roots are now deeper than they were. We are now more sturdy than we've ever been. It took a 2020 to prepare us for a 2021. Say, Alan, is it going to be worse? I have no idea. I got a feeling it's going to be a lot more the same. God has prepared us and is growing us in righteousness, whether you know it or not. And He does it through life circumstances. He puts us and lets us and allows us to be in these situations. So as I continue on with this righteousness idea, I didn't want to leave you as though we're not growing. Now, I know we're kicking and screaming. If you could hear a tree, you'd probably be hollering all the way through the woods. That's kind of like we are. I know we're kicking and screaming, but I want you to rejoice in that you're the righteousness of Christ that's in you today is greater than when you started. Why? Because of God's promise to us and because He's adding to us each year. Each year. So what we're to do at 2020 is to look on and say, okay, God, what needs to be in my growth ring for 2020? That's the reason I don't want us to get so caught up in the three sides that we don't understand God's using it all to grow us. And I know we hear that from pulpits all the time. We probably get sick of hearing it, but it doesn't change it. It's the truth. It's just the truth. You didn't come here this morning to get a cone of ice cream, I hope. No, you came to get the truth. And so 2020 is to be seized by God's people. We're to have dominion over 2020. Now, right in the midst of 2020, we maybe can't see exactly what we need to be doing. But as we stand back looking on 2020, we quickly can come up with what our behavior should be and how we should be acting and what we should be doing. And this other thing, in taking dominion, we need to understand God imparted some growth in us if we'll look for it. If we'll allow it and we'll agree with it, God will show us this growth that everyone sitting in here today, you are stronger in Christ Jesus because of 2020. If you will ask the Holy Spirit to show you how did you grow in 2020. Say, Alan's a lot of pain. I understand that. You got deeper roots now in your head. It killed you, didn't it? You feel like you didn't survive it, don't we? But we're all here this morning seeking a word from God. Why? It's because we've grown a little stronger, a little closer, a little more in the righteousness of Christ. Now, as we move forward, when we live in the third side, we have the authority and power of heaven. Now watch it, John 18. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." You see that? That's a third side approach. This kingdom Jesus is speaking about is in the supernatural realm, and He's asking us to bring it down to this earth. Now, do I believe that through prophecy that Jesus will rule and reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years and that this kingdom will be established upon this earth? I'm one of those that says yes. I do believe that. But you've got to understand, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Everyone in here is sitting in what? A chair. You're sitting in a chair. I can take you to Revelation chapter 4 and show you that there's chairs in heaven. So are you sitting in the first chair? No. You're sitting in a replica of a chair. Right? So what happens is things that are in heaven, God gives a reflection of it on the earth. So, is there a kingdom of God? Yes. Is there one in heaven? Yes. Will there be a replica of one on the earth? Yes. But because there's a third side, there's also something about the kingdom of God in you. Doesn't erase it. There's not a kingdom in heaven, and there won't be one established on the earth, because there will be. It's like you're sitting in a chair. This earth is a replica. Satan got kicked out of the first one. He's trying to take dominion over this one. I don't know why, but God said, I'm going to give him a fight and run for his money. I'm going to create a people, and I'm going to put my spirit in them, and they're going to represent my dominion on the earth. So we see ourselves, we're positioned in heaven, but we're on the earth, and we're calling for a kingdom that we can't see. But I suggest, look out, because when God's kingdom moves, you won't be able to see it. It's too slow or too fast. I've said this before, I'll say it again. How many of you expected to be at New Life Church? Unless you were born here, probably none of you. You find yourself here and you're still asking yourself, well, what am I doing here? Well, I don't really fit there. Well, it's the best thing I know to do till I find something better. But yet you find yourself here. I've said this before. If you don't know how you got here, God was getting you here all the time. You can't get yourself here. God has to get you here. And you'll sit there not understanding why you're here. Except you know you're supposed to be. Why? It's the kingdom of God. To operate in the kingdom of God, we have to be able to come to terms of when God says something, He does not have to give me understanding on why He said it. Can somebody hear that? In the kingdom of God, God says something. But God, you don't have to prove to me why you said it. God, you don't have to give me understanding why you said it. Because I'm going to be obedient just the same. Now here's what happens in political correctness, which is the atmosphere that we're in. The atmosphere of political correctness is what created all of this confusion that we're in now. Political correctness says, well, some of the laws of our land used to be based on God's word. And then man looked at them and said, well, I don't understand that. Well, I think it discriminates against somebody else. Well, I don't think it's being nice to this person. I don't think it's being nice to that person. I think it hurts my feelings. So then we look at God's word, and because of humanism requires understanding, we then modify what God says to what we think it should say. Listen, believers, you got to come to terms and be okay with not understanding everything God says. You got to come to terms with it. God might give us some understanding, and He might not. Didn't make any difference. Inside of me, I have learned to turn off the switch. God, prove it to me. I said that twice. Regretted both times I said it. Last time I said, God, give me a front row seat to see somebody healed of cancer, and I had it in less than 12 months. Bad idea. Can somebody say bad idea? Yeah, throw that up to God. Yeah. I didn't know when I said, give me a front row seat, that I was on the front row. I should have said second row seat. I didn't think it through. You say, well, Alan, did God give it to you? I don't know, but I know I said it and I got it. Do I understand that? Don't want to blame God. I will own that one. I run my mouth, and I should have kept it shut because my mind was demanding understanding. I will pray for the sick if we never see anybody till Jesus comes because God said it. That's why we do it. Why do we do it? Because God said it. But I don't, nobody said, I don't care. I'll pray for a dead bush. Why? Because God believes in life and God said it and we're going to do it. That's why we do it. It's because He says it. And if you're sitting here for the evidence to see and to understand, if that's what drives us, it's humanism. The mind's got to try to understand why God does. I showed you in the first verse, God doesn't think like we think. We need to accept that. We might be a little smart, but like a bunch of penguins, I don't know which one's the smartest. We've got to come to terms and accept and live by, if God says it, I believe it, and I will be obedient. Just be at peace at that. And you might be surprised, God might give you a little understanding. All of a sudden, he's feeling good one morning. Says, I believe I'm going to give a little understanding on this one. And we can rejoice in that, but that's not what drives us. What drives us is because we trust God. Why do we trust God? Because we believe God thought it through before he said it. Now come on, somebody. We believe God's already thought it through. And he came up with the best answer. And he wrote it down and said, there it is. I've done thought it through before. You don't have to worry. You be picking a little brain about it. I've already thought it through. But can you see how our human controlling, can you see how it inches into our lives to be God? Because we want to redefine God, redefine who God is. That's the world of Babylon. And I'm just saying, until you be at peace, trust God, trust His Word. He's already thought it through. And some of this stuff I read, I'm so glad. He said, as a sinner, I could come to Him and I could trust Him. Did I understand everything about the cross and the kingdom of God and all that when I got saved? I'll be honest with you. I don't remember that I could have told you anything. Here's what I knew. I was sitting in a room that a bunch of people had something that I didn't have. That's what I knew. And I was feeling real bad about it. Because whatever they had, I wanted it. That's what I knew. Did the preacher say that? No, he didn't say anything like that. It's like I've heard Trevor say. Trevor said that the only thing he knew, he was going to hell for 48 hours or 24 hours, so many hours. It cooked him real good. I think God must have sort of dangled him over the fire or something. But he knew. He was convinced. He was convinced. Trevor was convinced he was going to hell. And what was the truth? He was. He didn't have a revelation of heaven. He had a revelation of hell. And God gave him that truth. And he cried out to God. And God answered his cry. Did Trevor understand all of that, the Bible? No. He didn't understand it. Something happened, invaded his heart. It was called the Spirit of the Living God. And the Spirit of the Living God speaks to us today just like when you got saved. He knew there was a hell. Had he been there? No, but he knew there was one. Why? Because God had spoken the truth to him and he said yes to the truth that God gave. And when we become yes, now just please hear me here. When you say yes to the truth of God and don't demand that he give you understanding, you'll then get the revelation which imparts to you faith to believe the truth you're reading. Somebody say amen. We say yes to God. Trevor said yes to God. God then issued him the faith to believe the truth So how are we going to get more truth? We're just going to trust God with His truth. Where He says it, as He says it, like He says it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. And I trust it. And bam, the revelation of faith comes. So here we see that. Now the nature of the kingdom of God is to break into and invade earth's domain. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe what? The gospel or the good news. Repent and believe the gospel or the good news. It's the invasion of the supernatural into the natural world. It's the third side. The most powerful and personal nature of the kingdom of God is its breaking into the life of an individual. So here's the supernatural comes into the natural world. But its first place of invasion is the human heart. Now, who would have thought of that? The first place of invasion. So if we want to see the kingdom of God come to this earth, where's the first place it's going to hit? In human hearts. First place. We're asking it for to hit in a lot of places. We can pray for Washington. We can pray for all this sort of stuff. But are we praying that it invade the human hearts in Washington? It's when the kingdom invades the human heart. Now, I'm trying to show us and introduce us to the idea of taking dominion over the earth. You got to do what's first. It's the human heart. It's in Colossians. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of what? Of darkness. That's the unnatural. And hath translated us into the kingdom of what? His dear Son. So how do we get there? We're translated. To understand kingdom, we must understand dominion. Now, remember the other two teachings, if you've heard them. I think they're online somewhere under New Life. But it is the first teaching on the third side, second teaching, and this is part three. We must understand dominion. And more of this is on the other teachings. Now, dominion is ruling and controlling power, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. So here we see God created us in His image, and then He says that He was wanting to create somebody in His image to have dominion. Now, this is important. I've taught this before, but it's important that I, perhaps there's always somebody here that hasn't heard this. And you need to hear it, and if you heard it, you need to be reminded. Now, this is where the dominion power was lost. It's in the garden, and it says, and then said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. This is where Adam blamed his wife, Eve, on taking of the fruit in the garden. Then Eve blamed the serpent, right? So everybody blamed somebody else. If you don't get this, everything else I'm going to say will not make any sense. You got to get this. When you blame somebody else, you give over your dominion over that issue. You can say, well, Alan, they hurt me on purpose. Well, take dominion on purpose. You got to get this. You got to get this. If I'm going to pray for Washington, I've got to own it. Now, we need to own our own sin and our own behavior, but I'm talking about walking in the power of Christ and taking ownership of other people's bad behavior. You're like, oh, well, I didn't know we could do that. Listen, Jesus said we'd do greater works, right? What did Jesus do when He went to the cross? He took on the sins of the world. Why? Because He took dominion over them. Jesus took dominion of the sin of the earth. Had He not done that, He couldn't have forgiven them. Is anybody with me? Is this too heavy for you? We've got to understand, church, we're to have dominion over the earth. That means we're going to own other people's bad behavior. Do I think some people who went on the Capitol and made that mess, do I think they were right? No, I think they were dead wrong. I think they were dead wrong. I really do. Do I need to take dominion over? The answer is yes. I need to pray for them. I need to pray for the situation. Truth is, if I'd have took dominion on it, if I was a true prophetic person, the Lord, and I'd been in tune, I'd have heard and seen it was a coming, I could have prayed and took dominion over it before it happened. It wouldn't have happened. Now, that's just the truth. You mean, Alan, we've got that much in Christ Jesus? Yes. But it also shows us how far away from there we are. That's how far away we are. You see, if we're too busy blaming everybody for doing something wrong, come on, hello. If I'm in this blame game, well, they did this and they did that, and I'm not saying people's behavior's right. But if you're in the gear of blame, let's blame everybody for what? It always happens. If you blame somebody, you want them to get what you think they deserve. That's right. That means you've judged them. Oh, whoa. Don't want that one. How do you know if you've judged somebody? You know you've judged the situation when you pass sentence on the situation. Well, Alan, now y'all pray for me when I say this because it's going to take the Holy Ghost. Now, Alan, do you want Nancy Pelosi to get what she deserves? The answer is no. I do not. I want to take dominion over that lady, over that situation. And I want to say publicly that I want to take dominion over her life for the kingdom of God. Amen. And that God will save her. She'll repent of her sin, just like the rest of us. Now, it's a little bit hard for me to say that. But if you were standing up here, you'd say it. I'm too scared not to. That's right. I'm just telling you, there's a third side to this thing. God would have that none would perish. If we're going to take dominion, we got to understand that and do it like Jesus would do it. We got to think like Jesus would think. Jesus doesn't want Biden to perish. We prayed for Trump. Will we pray for Biden? We're on the third side. You can say, well, a lot of his stuff don't line up with the third side. Well, let's pray him in. There's nothing that is without the dominion of God. Most people sitting in here, you're sitting here because somebody prayed you in. You lived like hell and you know it. A grandmother, a mother, or somebody prayed for you from the time you was born. You got saved. Why? Somebody took dominion over your life before you got saved. That's why. That's right. Can you see what I'm saying? Oh, I'm going to get to some emails now. That's okay. I'd rather get it from somebody else than from God. I'm just saying, the church of Jesus Christ is to have dominion over this earth with God. We got to think like God. We got to think like Jesus. We're all going to get what we deserve if Jesus Christ does not enter our hearts. Listen, you take the Holy Ghost out of everybody in here and you're a bunch of idiots. We all embarrass each other. The things that comes out of our mouths when we are not under the influence of the Holy Ghost does not need to be in the papers. You know it's the truth. We all sit in here because of the mercies of God. When we think like God, we'll issue that against our enemies, those that are persecute us, those that are against us. And what they don't realize, we're going to get them for the kingdom. Are we thinking like Nancy Pelosi could be the next greatest evangelist on the earth? Are we thinking this? Are we thinking this? Listen, y'all, that she needs set free. Bless her heart. Great turmoil. All right, let me move on. And I'm not even... You can't even get all I'm saying unless you get to the end, and I'm not going to get to the end. I'm not going to do it like I did last week. Just shove it down your throat right there. Yeah. When you establish dominion by ownership, now here's the deal. You got to own it. If you're wrong, own it. Just own it. So, okay, yep, I'm wrong. When we repent, it's because we've taken ownership of something we need to repent of. True repentance can't happen until ownership takes place. Sin always wants to blame somebody else. You say, well, somebody else treated you wrong. Well, they did treat you wrong. But are you going to let them own it, or are you going to own it? You going to let it aggravate you the rest of your life? Or are you going to put a stop to it and take it to the cross of Christ? If you own it, you're taking dominion. God, I want to own this situation. I want to be like Christ on the cross, who took on the sins of many men. I want to own this situation. I want to take it to the cross of Christ. I know, God, that Alan Smith, I could be on that Capitol. I could be anywhere. I could get carried away. I could get my mind off of you, God. I could let things come out of my mouth that I need to keep shut. God, I'm just as guilty as the worst person. And I want to own it. And I want to take it to the cross of Christ. And I ask and pray for forgiveness. I ask and pray for forgiveness of Nancy Pelosi right now. And I pray, oh God, for her salvation. And I pray that her witness will be heard around the world. I declare it by the dominion of Jesus Christ. I believe that to be the heart of God. Anybody else? I believe that to be the heart of God. So I call that forth as the heart of God. We establish dominion because we own it. We don't blame others. We say the buck stops here. Do we understand how it works and deny how it works? No, we don't deny anything. We don't deny. We understand how these things happen and how they work. I mean, how could the enemy discredit what happened at Washington, the gathering on the Mall, than to have a few people act out? Here, you got 40, 50 people. It represents 1.5 million people that was there. Now, how did that happen? It's because somebody operated out of their side. That's how it happened. You can say, well, I did it for the right reasons. Well, why didn't you get the right results? Listen, we've got to understand something. Well, it's in my teaching. Can I go on? I'm not going to get there, but here we go. When you establish dominion by ownership, you establish kingdom. Dominion requires a territory. Now in Luke 17 it says this, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? Is within you. So here we see that one aspect of the kingdom of God's in here. Now, is there going to be an earthly kingdom? Yes, there is. Is there a heavenly kingdom now? Yes, there is. But it just so happens that Jesus wants that heavenly kingdom to come to the earth, and bam, right there, ground zero, it's done hit in me. Has it hit in you? So we see the kingdom of God, it's you could say it's also, but say the kingdom of God is within you. So how do I say, through the authority and the power of the dominion of God, how can I stand in front of you say for the salvation for Nancy Pelosi? It's because the kingdom of God's within me. And I can yield, and y'all witnessed it. When I knew God told me to do it, I'm like, oh, shoot. Don't know if I'm quite ready, God. I need 5 minutes to prepare, don't I? He said, no, just do it, boy. So what happens? It stretches me. Can I tell you something? I feel better now. I really do. I feel better now. So I must have had a little something there God didn't want me to have. So he pulled me into third heaven and said, okay, operate in dominion. When I operate in dominion, she set her free. But guess what? Kind of sets me free too. Why? Because I did the right thing. And it wasn't my side. I got a witness. All right. God created the earthly realm, and God wanted to share his dominion. You know what? I'm just going to have to stop right there. I'm not going over. I'm not even halfway there. So I really and truly, as we end up here, I show you how these three kingdoms and this clash that we're feeling right now is at the end of this teaching. You're going to see it. It's this big bang clash that's happening. It's at the end of this teaching. The pastor already said, Alan, perhaps you'll need to go to another week when we were talking. And you know, it's amazing how, and he's not here, but he's a great guy. He called me up, texted me Tuesday or Wednesday or one day there. And he said, Alan, you're not finished on the third side. The Lord told him I wasn't finished. And I thought, no, I'm not. But because I trust him, I knew he was telling the truth. He said, I'm not sure you'll get it, you know, you just take your time, whatever. So when I'm standing before you now, I'm taking my time because of what he's spoken to me. It's like this, like the Lord knew. So if you would, come back next week. I do want you to get the ending of what I'm trying to teach, what I think the Lord's saying. You test it. See if it be true, but I want you to test it. And if you'll hear what the Lord says, I believe that this church can be empowered at a higher level. And we can see things on this earth change. Now, we might be a little bold. People might say, well, you're a little arrogant, aren't you? And I'll say, you better believe it in the kingdom of God. Call me whatever you want to. But we're taking dominion down here at New Life over these circumstances in life. And we want to see the supernatural break into the natural realm where lives are changed. You see, the way it happens is we've got to change our way of thinking. We're kind of waiting on God to do it. And God says, no, I've given you dominion. You just come join me and we'll do it together. But we got to get bold about this thing, the kingdom of God. Now, if there's anyone here today and you don't know if you've been born again into this kingdom, I'm asking you to come see me, Trevor, up here today. And we have several people here that can lead you in how you can be part of this kingdom of God, part of the third side, be part of a supernatural kingdom. The supernaturalness of the kingdom of God, please, oh God, has got to be more normal to the church of Jesus Christ. The supernaturalness of God and his kingdom. Don't give up on that because it's reality that we're going to see. If there's anybody here today that'd like to be baptized, Mike, if you would, Michael, he's right over here. Baptismal waters are heated. We got clothes for anybody who says, well, Alan, I don't know why I need to be baptized. Just do it. Just get baptized. You don't have to know why. I've had some people say that. You don't have to know why. Do you feel God saying do it? Just do it. Just come on. Let's give up this great understanding that we think is going to change something. Let's trust God. Anybody wants to be baptized, if you have an illness or anything that you want to be baptized for, say, Alan, I've already been baptized 11 times. Well, number 12 is waiting on you. If there's anybody that needs prayer, or would you like to come up to this altar and pray and say, God, I repent. I want to be more on the third side, on your side. I want to see the power of the kingdom of God in my life like I've never seen it before. Just ask Him to teach you and to train us. I want you to come up and pray. So let's stand if we will. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day, oh God. I ask and pray that you'll be with our pastor right now, that you'll bring healing to him and to his body. Lord God, I ask and pray that if there's anyone here that needs to come to this altar for prayer, that they'll come. I ask and pray if there's anybody that needs to be baptized, that your Holy Spirit would move on them. If there's anybody here that's lost and does not know you, or just not sure, Lord, I pray today that'll be settled, that the kingdom of God might be expanded one heart at a time. Be with this group, this crowd here. I commission us, oh God, as a group of people that want to rule and reign upon this earth with you now, in this now moment. That this place and this county and this state might reverberate the power and the kingdom of God. Let it be done this day as our prayer, oh God. In Jesus' name, we're going to sing this one song, and Karen will dismiss us, and then you come and we'll minister any way needed. God bless you. I hope you still love me. Test anything I say, but it comes out of my heart. Trust me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.